I'm now joined in by the Deputy Speaker in the Provincial Legislature. That's Ubabu Sam Masango. He joins us in conversation as the Deputy Speaker. Deputy Speaker, as always, good evening and thank you so much for making time to speak to us this evening.
Good evening to you, Musa, and good evening to all listeners across the province. Thank you.
Deputy Speaker, today we've noted that the National School of Governance has entered into somewhat of a long-term partnership with the legislature of our province, but not only in Mpumalanga, but we've noted that it was also in the Northwest. But we'd like to center our conversation just mainly on the commitments and the signing of this memorandum between yourselves as the legislature in Mpumalanga and as well as the NSG. We understand that this particular memorandum of understanding seeks to somewhat deliver capacity building programs to enhance the capacity of members of the provincial legislature. Talk us through around the conceptualization of this particular program. What really prompted this particular initiative to actually exist?
No, thank you very much, Musa, and we must appreciate the opportunity that you're giving us as the legislature this evening to actually broaden up the perspective around the National School of Governance and what was the purpose all about. As you know, that as the 7th administration, Mayor Lindiwe Masina, the Honourable Speaker, put effort that all honourable members need to then acquire maximum qualification. In fact, it is our responsibility as an institution to capacitate our members. As the manners they have entered into the system, this will go out differently at the end of the term. And which means we need to then go into all other institutions, amongst them the National School of Government. We need to enter into MOU with as an institution in terms of drawing in programs that will capacitate your secretariats, the members' capabilities, and members will be able to also go through to some programs that will also build them in terms of how to entertain or engage on committees, interpret AGs, report, and so forth. Mm. No, so the primary point in actual is to actually strengthen, support, and even transform individuals in improving program quality, more efficiently to use resources, and better alignment goals. These are amongst other visions that the 7th administration put forward. You will remember, Mr., that our interest as a 7th administration and together with Northwest is that all our members need to then register online. It won't hinder their day-to-day work commitment. It needs also on the later time continuously register as soon as early as January. They need to start registering now. We had a meeting as a legislature with the delegation from the National School of Government, and we processed a number of issues. Amongst them is self-capacitation of members in terms of further education with accreditation. So it's very important, Musa, and we're delighted as legislature to have this innovative and creativity to assist our members to realize the bigger picture of strategic planning, decision-making, greater adaptations of power and resilience, and fulfillment of stakeholder expectation and maximum individual growth. These are amongst our visions that members also, Musa, you will understand that you can make any initiatives, but members need to see the vision of government that education does not have age. Members have to also adhere. They have to take up education, because by capacitation, you are actually building yourself and you are actually assisting the nearby person. Lastly, it is a noble idea, Musa, that a society that is uneducated is dangerous to itself. Even a leader that have not required a maximum basic qualifications is very catastrophic to himself and to the society that is leading. Because he will interpret laws wrongly and he will mislead the society in terms of policy and the standing procedures of government. This is our vision as legislature, Musa.
Deputy Speaker, you know, obviously, some of the members in the legislature, they come from, you know, different political parties. Was there somewhat of an exercise in terms of, or an analysis that was done on capacity limits in terms of what the members have versus what they need? Because I gather that some of maybe these efforts might be somewhat of a repetition of whatever program a member engaged on before they came into the legislature? Was such a process run, or, you know, was such an, you know, an analysis done before maybe you committed to the National School of Government, or the legislature is of the view that it is a necessary partner to have irregardless?
No, look, Musa, of course, yes, yeah, you're correct. But firstly, we took an assessment, which we then said we can't identify members in terms of their qualification as legislature, but we assume that it's part of our compliance that we need to capacitate our members. That is why we offer them tools of trade. That's why we make sure that they have all the necessary skills, materials to work, and the conducive environment to proceed with their work. Equally, capacitation remain our responsibility as an institution. That is why we ought to cut across to all of them. Obviously, there are some members who have different diplomas, degrees, that they don't require this. It's not compulsory for all members, but it's mandatory for those who don't have. They need to take without being even directed to. Mm. So members have to then see it from themselves that you can take a donkey to the sea. Actual fact, it says whatever we do as an institution, we must make all the various latitude opportunities. But it's within a member that need to take up these opportunities into the best interest. Like, for instance, municipalities offer bursaries to councillors.
Mm.
Municipalities expect councillors to take and respect the principle of why they must be educated. Equally, ourselves, as members, we must possess a maximum qualification at the end of our term and be able to resonate and qualify the issues that we are debating in legislature, the rules that we have to be expected to read, and we must comprehend the image of the institution. That is why a member who's possessed with high education, possess high capacity and opportunity to provide solution to the problems that is faced with the society.
Mm.
Now, the catastrophic part, Musa, is that an honorable member who have a shortage or a shrinkage of an education, he has a challenge of understanding prescripts of the law,
sure.
Then he misinterprets, sure. Then he applies emotion.
Mm.
That's what we're trying to get.
Mm-hmm. Deputy Speaker, you know, there's something you've raised, and I find it very interesting that in the local government space, and I'm sorry that maybe we have to start there to make the point, in the local government space, they've got somewhat of an oversight body, which is SALGA, because SALGA released the report on the capacity of councillors across the country, but even in the province of Mpumalanga, on obviously their limits. Is there somewhat of an oversight body in the legislature that is able to critique the legislature? I know that the legislature is an oversight body on its own, doing oversight on government. But is there a structure that oversees the work of the legislature that is going to be able to also critique the members? Should they not take up such an opportunity to say, members failed to interpret this particular prescript of law, members failed to actually advance such a motion, or members failed to actually, adequately avail, somewhat of a bill that was supposed to, empower society? Is there such a body?
No, Musa, look, legislature has a number of sectors that were in relation with. Amongst them, it's SALGA, which the Honourable Speaker has signed now recently, the MOC, which that talks to the relationship where SALGA sends delegation into committees. They do critique issues. They do also critique and some certain issues that our own executives during committees. So these, amongst other sectors, including your Chapter 9 institutions, all of them, they are part, and including AGS, well, that indicate issues of shortcomings. So which means that answers your question. Furthermore, we are then, as a body, accountable to the same constitution as well as an institution. Yes, legislature is accountable to the constitution and all Chapter 9 institutions as well, including systems within legislature itself that are also remedial to other issues. That is why we, as an institution, we are obliged to comply with capacitation of our own members, including our own staff. That means legislature as an institution is not superior to the constitution and other institutions that we have in this country.
Without a doubt, Deputy Speaker, it's always an honor speaking to you, and all the best in the work that the legislature does. And thank you so much for agreeing to speak to us this evening.
Musa, it's a great honor for us to be given this opportunity as legislature. We want to appreciate it once more. Thank you very much. You are more than welcome even in the future. Thank you very much.